for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, November the 24th, 2007. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Can a Christian Be Under a Curse?
Well, when it's this late, people get tired.
Now, you're old enough, and you've been in the ministry long enough.
I'm supposed to treat others the way I need to be treated.
We don't make excuses.
Okay. All right.
We just do.
I submit to authority.
And when the anointing goes out the door, you say amen.
When y'all start squirming, okay? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to do whatever the time allows. What time is it? 9:00. Bless the Lord. Lord, we pray that you end it when you want it. In Jesus' name. I submit to your authority through the authority. Amen. You know, the Bible says, I've set before you today life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life. Every place you violate this word, you're under a curse. The angels carry out the blessings, and demon powers carry out the curse. Proverbs 17:11 says, a rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. I think I want to begin by showing you that in the New Testament, some scriptures that show you that we can be under a curse. I think probably everybody in here probably already believes that. We think nothing of going to the doctor and having him give us a family history thing. Is there cancer in your family? Is there glaucoma in your family? What diseases run in your family? The world calls it genes, but God's Word calls it curses. And first, if you go to Galatians 5:22, let me just quote that one. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such is no law. Okay, you can go ahead and go there, and I'll just, if there's no law when we walk in the Spirit, then there is a law when we're producing the fruit of the flesh. In verse 19, it says, Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And then if you look up in verse 18, it says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So you could say, if you're not being led by the Spirit, you are under the law. Is that correct? Okay, go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. 1 Timothy 1:8. And start reading in verse 8. It says, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous man, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and sexually immoral men and you could say women, and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers. And you think, boy, that lets me out. I made it. But it goes on to say, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, so that would be any sin would be sound, contrary to sound teaching. So it says the law is not made for a righteous man if one uses it lawfully. If I drive through Hot Springs and it's 50 miles an hour or 40 miles an hour, I'm not under the laws of Hot Springs. But if it's 40 miles an hour and I drive 41 miles an hour or over, I come back under the laws of Hot Springs. And so the point I want to make is that you're not under this law till you disobey it. Then you come back under the law. And Lord, I just ask you in the name of Jesus to take control of our lives. I ask you to refresh. You said times of refreshment come in the presence of the Lord. And we thank you that you're here, Lord. We thank you for the healings tonight. God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for touching people tonight. And Father, we just loose ministering angels into this place. And Lord, we ask for grace to endure a late hour, Lord, in Jesus' name. We praise your name. And Lord, I pray that you take human ears and make them able to hear more than they could normally hear. And I ask you to take these words and, Lord, make people able to hear more than they could normally hear. And Lord, give us ears to hear, and we proclaim over this meeting the shaking loose of everything that's shakable so that those things that are unshakable will remain. And we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places. And on this earth, we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us at this meeting. And we bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. In Jesus' name. Okay, I prayed for years that the Lord would show me a specific New Testament verse that said Christians could be under the curse. And I listen, and I've done this since 92, and this is 2008. So for 2007, yes. Since 92, 2002 is 10 years. For 15 years, I listened to the Word of God as loud as I can play it. I don't listen to it where it's low, but I listen to it when it's loud. And I got up once in the middle of the night, and Galatians was playing, and it was like the Lord gave the revelation of this scripture. So if you'll go to Galatians chapter 3, I believe this is the New Testament verse that says Christians can be under a curse. First point I want you to read is verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Glory to God, that's true. Jesus Christ became a curse for us at Calvary. Hallelujah. Thank God he did. And we're here to lift him up tonight in Jesus' name. But you hear this part. You hear this part all the time, quoted all the time, especially by some of the prosperity teachers. But what they leave out is verse 10. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse." We just read in 1 Timothy 1, 8 that the law was not made for a righteous man. Is that right? It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse." You see, if we live after the flesh, we're under a curse, because if there's no law when we're filled with the Spirit, there is a law when we're not filled with the Spirit. When we're operating out of the flesh, we come back under the law, because if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you're not led by the Spirit, you are under the law. And then it says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them." So that is the New Testament verse that says that Christians can be under a curse. In Revelation 22, Glenn read it, that if you add to the Word of God or you take away from the Word of God, that you are under every curse and every plague written in this Bible. So we're not to add to the Word of God, and we're not to take away from the Word of God. And then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And Paul said in verse 22, "If anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed, Maranatha." Well, Jesus said in John 14, he said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." So you can say it this way: if anyone does not keep his commandments and love the Lord, let him be accursed. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Is that right? Now, we're saved by grace. We don't obey to be saved. We obey because we are, because we're a new creation. I know that I accepted the Lord in 1958 at a Billy Graham crusade, and I kept cussing and kept telling dirty jokes and kept smoking up a storm. And my life didn't change. But 5 years later, I was born again. And I was in the kitchen, and a curse word came out of my mouth. And I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, a Christian, that doesn't sound like, I wasn't even in church. I said, Lord, that doesn't sound like anything that ought to come out of a Christian's mouth. And that day, 45 years ago, I was delivered from cursing. And I used to curse like a sailor. My mother used to say, everything you do it, Jerry. You go to extreme with whatever you do. Well, I'm glad I have gone to extreme with Jesus. Hallelujah. And then 1 Corinthians 11 says, if you take the Lord's Supper with sin in your life, some of you are weak and some are sick and some of even are asleep or dead. You know, how many times do we... I was in a church 25 years before I ever heard a preacher say that. And most people, God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. You know, when a preacher's giving the Lord's Supper, he needs to remind people to examine themselves. And even if they know about it, sometimes a person wouldn't want his neighbor to think that he had sin in his life, so he would just drink damnation to himself. That's one of the roots to a spirit of death. You know, if you were given a death sentence, that would be one of the things to examine, plus another one would be the plagues that Glenn just read in Revelation 22. If you add to the word, take away from the word, live after the flesh, the Bible says you'll die. If you have a sickness, I encourage you to do a word study on all the scriptures on death and die and live and repent over all of them. Because the Bible said he sent his word to heal you. You know, Henry Wright says less than 0.5% of people really believe Jesus is the healer. You know, I have family members that have went to the doctor, and if they got healed, they said, well, I know God healed me, but can I tell you, they really believe the doctor did it? You see, you can actually get demons at the doctor's office. By the time they get through with you with medical, you need to get delivered from the medical. Because technically, and I don't like to say this, even Dr. Noll will tell you this, it's sorcery. It's the counterfeit for the great physician. You know what? When you seek out the medical, what you're doing is you're trying to bypass the penalty of sin. What you're doing is putting a Band-Aid on a spiritual problem. Now, the more excellent way is to find out why you're sick. And if you've got heart trouble, there's 800 scriptures on the heart in here. I have been healed of so many things. My leg problems. I did a word study on legs. The Bible says God does not take pleasure in the legs of the strength of a man, or meaning flesh. And I've always taken pleasure in human flesh. My daddy is the strongest man I know. He's my hero. And I always took pleasure in that. And then the Lord showed me I cursed my legs. And then the Lord showed me I used to be when I was a cheerleader, I used to march in the San Antonio Battle of Flowers parade. And the Lord showed me that people cursed my legs as the cheerleader with the ugly legs. And I broke all of that, and I can tell you, I can stand for hours, and my legs never bother me, and my feet never bothers me, and I'm almost 70 years old. And there's a reason why you have a physical problem. The Bible says it's a curse. Proverbs 26:2 says, a curse without a cause cannot lie. So when you get sick and you run to the doctor, you're forgetting the curse. You know, the doctor can cut it out. He can shift it around. He can sew you up. But if you are under a curse, you won't be healed till you find the cause of the curse. And so, that's the more excellent way. That's the way God can heal you permanently. And, you know, my hand hurt one day and it felt like it was bruised. And I did a word study on left hand. It says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. I said, oh, dear God, I've done that. God healed my hand. Had allergies, and after my son died of AIDS in 1992, I pulled up on the computer all of my symptoms, and I had a 2-inch high stack of computer sheets of all my symptoms. God had told me it was pride in my mouth. I understood about the mouth part. But I said, well, God, you know, I'm not really proud of my kids or my car. Or, you know, God, I'm not, I don't understand what you mean, pride. I know you're right, Lord. I'm not questioning you. It's just I don't get it. And after a day and a half in the Word of God, God had already showed me it was pride in my mouth. It's the reason I had I developed allergies after my son died of AIDS. And so I pulled up all the scriptures on tongue, mouth, lips, pride, arrogance, haughty. And I just began to confess all of those scriptures. Flood, I felt like I was drowning in clear water. Thank God it was clear. And so I pulled up river, waters, and repented over all the scriptures. And after a day and a half, I saw, and I was, before this, I tell you, you could say, Jerry, is there any sin in your life? And I'd say, I have confessed everything I know to confess. I am prayed up and confessed up. And so after a day and a half, I saw so much pride in my life. God, I got it. I used to say, well, you know, my husband needs to read this. This fits him. And you know what? Mother needs to read this. And you know, my sister needs to read this. And I was going, oh, dear God, forgive me. And I remember saying, you know, when you make a deal with God, you know where you were sitting and what way you were facing, right? I said, God, you must be so sick of me. And I tell you, by that third day, it took me 3 days to go through all of those scriptures. And by the third day, I had just a little tiny stuffy place in one side of my nose. My ears were stopped up. My nose was stopped up for, goodness, almost a year. And my parents made me go get an AIDS test because I took care of him. And on the last day, I had just a little stuffy place in my nose. And so then I just did a word study on nose. I pulled up all the scriptures on nose. And when I got to the one on Leviathan, it says, can you put a rope in his nose? And I went, oh, dear God, I feel like I got a rope in my nose. And I saw God trying to restrain my mouth by putting a rope in my... You know, when you're an outgoing personality, I just... God gave me a vision that he was trying to restrain my mouth and he had a rope in my nose. And I said, oh, God, forgive me. And my nose opened, and I was healed of allergies in 1989 or 1990. You see, the Bible says he sent his word to heal you. And whatever your symptom is, this is not even what I was going to teach. I couldn't get a clear word today, but anyway, this is what God wants. God wants somebody out there to hear this. He sent his word to heal you, not doctors, not hospitals, not folks. He sent his word to heal you. I went to I was going to go to Africa just before 9/11, and I went to this doctor, and he was going to give me all those shots you have to have. And he said, well, these are required, but you have to have all this other stuff. And I said, well, just give me what's required. And he said, what kind of medication are you on? I said, I'm on nothing. He said, well, that is a miracle to be your age and not be on any medication. Hey, this is a take a gospel. There's no side effects. And it works. It does. And you know what? It'll cause you to go from strength to strength to strength to strength. So, anyway, sickness is a curse, and we're going to read that in the Bible here in a minute. Proverbs 26:2 says, like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without a cause cannot light. So if we, in a minute, when we read Deuteronomy 28, if you see anything in Deuteronomy 28 that is a curse, there has to be a cause. And, you know, I did a word study on eyes. I've probably done 35 or 45 hours on the eyes. And the last three times I've went to the eye doctor, he's reduced my prescription. Now, I got sidetracked because I needed to do a word study on something else, and I got off of that because I was going to do heart next. Because your heart, your eyes are the index of your soul, which has to do with your heart. But can I tell you, if you've got heart problem, high blood pressure is a demon, low blood pressure is a demon. My mother said to me, she said, Jerry, you need to have your cholesterol checked. She said, you're too fat. I bet your cholesterol is sky high. I said, Mother, I could care less about my cholesterol. And I could care less about my triglycerides. All I'm interested in is my sin count. I'm serious. Sin is at the root of why you're sick. And if you have unresolved childhood issues, What it is if you let the demons stay in you and slap Band-Aids on them and take all this medication, and if you're on medication, please know I'm not condemning you, and I'm not telling you to get off of it, but I'm telling you look for the spiritual reason and repent. There could be one reason or there could be 500 reasons why your heart hurts. But God is interested in dealing with this. And if I don't deal with my sin when I'm young, it begins to take its toll on me as I get older. And sickness, demons are behind sickness. And so God wants to heal us, but we have unresolved childhood issues. We have hurt and pain that's down in our hearts. As little children, we don't know we can go to God because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. So what we do is we turn to promises we make ourselves. Then we grow up, nobody's going to reject us. Or when we grow up, we're going to find someone who loves us or someone who will understand us or someone who will value us. Wherever our parents fail in training us up according to the Word of God, we've got an automatic issue. You know, the children of Israel had a physical land to possess, right? You have a spiritual land to possess. And you know what you have to possess? You know what sets your everybody's got something different to possess, right? Is that right? What you have to possess is set by how you were trained up. What happened to you as a child that you didn't deal with or take to God or overcome or resolve, you're going around the mountain up here with the same thing. What's happening up here is just a rerun of what you didn't deal with when you were a child. And see, all of this, if I let the sun go down on my anger, there's bitterness, there's hurt, right? God says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Well, little children don't know that. God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So if I let the sun go down on my anger, if somebody hurts me and I don't deal with it by sundown, the next day it's unforgiveness and the next day it's bitterness. And you see, all those places down there that were wounds and hurts, if you didn't go to God, you turned to a false god. You know the false god is? When I grow up, life's going to be different. And that's a false god. If you don't turn to God, you turn to something else. And see, all of that pain down there, and how do you know there's any pain down here? Somebody pushes your button up here. Right? You get your button pushed, or you get your parade rained on. You know what that is? That's indicating a sore place down in your heart that didn't get healed. And all of your anger is linked and tied into a hot wire that's linked to an idol, which was the promise you made yourself. And so that's where we're opened up to idolatry. And God tells us, He tells us in 1 John 5:21, little children, guard yourself from idols. What is an idol? The dictionary definition is an image used as an object of worship, a false god, one that's adored, often blindly or excessively, something visible but without substance. 1 Corinthians 10:14, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. And Galatians 5:19 says, if you practice idolatry, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Colossians 3:5 says that sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed is idolotry. Ephesians 5:5-8 says, for this you know with certainty that no sexually immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sins of disobedience. You know, we can be under the wrath of God. And I know people that have got sickness, and you'll say, now you just need to do, ask God to show you the spiritual root. And they'll say, you know, I've repented of everything I know. And I was repented of everything I know. But it takes getting in the mirror of the Word of God before you can see yourself. When I started doing a word study on eyes, oh my goodness, did you know eye problems and pride run together? You know, it talks about in Psalm 73, their eye bulged with fatness, the imaginations of their heart run riot. There's glaucoma right there. My eyes bulge because of pressure in the eyes. I saw, after getting healed of the allergies, after I started repenting on eye scriptures, I'm telling you, I saw so much more pride in my life. It's like an iceberg. You think you saw it off at the water and some more floats up. Right? Because Jesus died on the cross to get the devil out of you, and it's a process. He didn't come out in one day, does he? And so Satan is king over the sons of pride. But God wants to give you the more excellent way. You know, the doctrines of demons that we've been taught today is we just leave God out of everything. How many places do you go that you can be anointed with oil by the elders of the church? Henry Wright said that he saw very few people healed, even after all of that, and it was because there was a spiritual root to their disease. He says that sickness comes out of the unsanctified areas of the heart. And if you want to be healed, go the exit. Listen, is it 1 John 3 says, "Beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." If I'm not in good health, my soul is not prospering. Hello? So I need to get back to a prospering soul, right? If I want God's answer. Or I can hang in there and let the front end drag, and by the time I'm, normally by the time you're 60 or 70, you're sipping Ensure and watching satellite TV. That's no way to live. God wants to change you from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Amen? And I've got a few physical things. And I tell you, after Carla's message yesterday, I got heals of some of them. Because I was one that was one of these people that wasn't receiving. And I've been asking God over and over. I said, "Lord, you said, which is easier to believe?" When the man was healed, remember when they put the man down to the roof? And Jesus said, "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or take up your pallet and walk?" And I've been for 2 weeks. I've been praying, "Lord God, what does that mean? I don't understand. Unless it just means it's just as easy to say your sins are forgiven as take up your pallet and walk." But I've been, you know, asking God to show me for spiritual roots, and I was kind of like the situation where you can say, "Well, this piano is yours," and you can say, "Well, the piano is mine, but I didn't possess it." And God was trying to tell me, "Hey, I receive healing." He's been trying to give it to me, and I've been doing all this other stuff. Here, Jerry, take it. Anyway, I've got some physical things, but I'm not looking to the doctor to fix me. You know, some of you, if somebody told you you were going to die, you would be calling all over the United States to find some man to heal you. You know what? You are indestructible till God wants you, but you can let medical destroy you. I better quit meddling, right? I'm just telling the truth because I love you. And like I say, if you're on medication, please know that I'm not telling you to get off of it. I'm telling you to find why you've got what you got, and you won't even need it. Do you know the number one killer of people in the United States is heart disease? Number two is cancer. Number three is medical errors. And number four is prescription drugs. Every side effect is another disease. And so you can't get healed from that if you've got the side effects of all this medication. And there's some of these commercials. Have you heard the one about the restless leg syndrome? If you have the urge to gamble or have some other kind of urges, that's a side effect. Who in the world would want that? Goodness, help me, Jesus. Anyway, hallelujah. So God tells us to repent of our idols. And so we can make idols out of people and we make idols out of things. You know, in America, we think, well, because we don't worship Buddha, we don't have idols. But our idols Our idols are the things our parents failed to do according to the Word of God. God says, parents, provoke not your children, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Any place, and I really hope you hear this, God give us ears to hear, any place your parents do not train you up according to this word, you have an automatic anger issue. You may have suppressed it. You may not know it's there. You may have been the kind of child that couldn't express your emotions, and you just kind of stuffed it. Can I tell you it's still down there? And if you don't deal with it, it'll keep on till finally it'll work out in your body in physical pain and sickness. And please know, I'm not criticizing anybody that's sick. I'm trying to tell you something that'll help you. Permanently help you. And so God sends His Word to heal you. You can make idols out of people, out of things. An idol, a good one, is if you didn't grow up loved, your idol is, I got to find somebody that loves me. If you didn't grow up with companionship, the idol is, when I grow up, I'm going to find somebody that will be my companion. If you were abandoned as a child, I'm going to find somebody that will never leave me. If you grew up rejected, guess what? You're still being rejected. Because, see, that sets in motion forces for you to keep on reaping what you judged. And so then we get sick up here and we say, well, I've forgiven my mother and dad. But in deliverance, you've got to specifically, there may be 1,000 things you've got to forgive your mother for. And saying, generally, I forgive, God honors that, but if you're wanting to get healed, you've got to forgive specific incidences. And just, you can start by forgiving your parents for their character that wasn't like Jesus. Specifically, I forgive my dad for being a slob, not taking care of me. You see, if you weren't protected, then you grew up thinking, I'm going to find that one person to protect me. And can I tell you, you'll never find it. You'll never find anything in any human being. It's only God can meet your needs. I've been a widow since 1999, and I have not been lonely not one minute since 1999. And I can stay by myself for 3 years because God's presence is so strong in my life that I'm not by myself. I've got God all the time. And I just love to be on my land, and I just love my chickens. And but you know what? Whenever you're lonely, you need to find that place in God. Because no, you can't find a human that'll ever meet that need. And if you marry somebody thinking he's going to meet that need, you're constantly fighting with him because he didn't. He can't. No human can meet that, fill that God-shaped hole in your heart. Okay? And the Bible says the folly of a fool is his discipline. An idol is an image, which can be an idea or a picture in the mind. And behind all iniquity is sin, and that's idolatry. And 1 Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity, all sin, is as idolatry. Okay, and let's see. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, it says, you'll have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in the earth, heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Now let's see who hates him. The Bible says those who pretend obedience hate him. And that's Psalms 81:15. 82 or 83 of Psalms says those who exalt themselves hate the Lord. James 4 says those who make themselves a friend of the world are enemies of God. And Jesus said those who do not obey him don't love him. And in Proverbs 14:2, it says, those who are crooked in their way despise the Lord. And so the way we're opened up to idols is the sins of the fathers become the children's sin. The idols of the fathers become the idols of the children. But we also ourselves turn to idols because as little children we don't know we can go to God. Because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. And so little children don't even really, if you've always been abused, you don't even know any, you don't even know that you're, it's, that's just the way life goes. Because you never had any good thing to compare it to. And Lord, bring that thought back to my mind in Jesus' name. And so as little children, we don't know we can go to God, so we turn to the false gods. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to bring that thought back to me, because I believe it was important in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord. Anyway, it'll come back if the Lord wants me to have it. And so we turn to vows. And, I know what. Any time it applies, you say, well, you know, I really wasn't distressed about that. But it applies any time the law of God is violated on your heart. You don't know any different as a little child because you've always been abused. You've never been loved. You've never been taken care of or whatever. But the law of God is written on our hearts. And so if a parent violates this law of God in training us up, we have an automatic issue. For example, let me give you an example. When I was growing up, my mother never spanked me, not one time. She hit me with a fly swatter once, and it made me so mad. And don't ever just swat a kid. Beat the tar out of him. don't abuse him. But if you just, you know, I've heard people, now quit that. You know, that just makes them mad. I know. And my daddy spanked me 4 times, and I'm telling you, I remember all 4. He only had to do it 4 times. I still obey him, and he's 93. And I got tickled that Dale, his daddy, said, you know, you need to lose weight. That's exactly what my daddy says, and he's 93, and Dale's daddy's 94. Anyway, but the last time my dad spanked me, I guess I was about 12 or 13, I sassed him. And he came out of that bathroom, and he was going to spank me till I told him what I said. Well, I wasn't going to tell him. He beat me and beat me and beat me and beat me. And my mother used to, I said, Mother, why didn't you spank me? She said, I could have killed you, and it wouldn't have done any good. But he beat me, and he beat me, and he beat me. And she'd say, oh, Louis, don't. You're going to kill her. No, stop. Don't beat her. And what a brat I was. I cried till he apologized. I found myself going, ah! I ran out of tears, so I just couldn't. And, you know, for years I couldn't even cry, and, you know, that was the reason. You know, if you don't honor your mother and father, life doesn't go well. And I wondered why it was easy, hard for me to cry, because I was a fake. And anyway, I loved it. But, you know, the law of God was written on my heart. I loved it that I got bailed out. If you'd have asked me, is that right, I'd have probably said no. But the law of God was written on my heart. And so I never thought any more about it. And so I had a little granddaughter that I prayed for 15 years before she was conceived. She's 21 now, so she's been prayed for 35 or 36 years. So you expect if you prayed for a child that long, 15 years before she's conceived, you expect this little angel to appear, right? Because you prayed the whole Bible for her. And she was being a brat. And when she was little, when she was 2 years old, she'd go into the other room and she'd say, Mother, shut the door. I want to throw a fit and I don't want Grandmother to see me. Anyway, she needed a spanking when she was 2 or 3. And I believe in spanking children because that's what makes them bipolar and all this other stuff is the lack of discipline. I love what Terry said. He said his daddy and mother wouldn't allow him to have ADD. They beat it out of him. And that's profound. I mean, not that you're to be a child abuser. You're not. But children need discipline. They don't feel loved if they're not disciplined. Anyway, so my little granddaughter needed a spanking, and my son started to spank her, and my daughter-in-law stopped him. I'm telling you, that was just pierced my heart. God, what are you trying to show me? The Lord said, that's exactly what your mother did when your daddy tried to discipline you. So then I repented. I forgave my mother, forgave my daddy, and I never saw my daughter-in-law do that again. You see, God wanted me to get the log out of my eye before their speck fell out. A couple of years ago, I said, Dad, I need to apologize to you. And I told him what I did. I cried. I said, oh, Dad, I did this. And I said, and I need to ask you to forgive me. He said, and I need to ask you to forgive me for apologizing. But you see, the law of God was written on my heart. My mother violated it. And because I made that judgment that I didn't take to the cross, it set in motion forces for me to reap the very same thing, for God to give me a picture and a mirror of what He was trying to change in me. You see, God lets people mirror. He brings these turkeys in your face that mirror what He's trying to change in you. And God will allow conflict in every area He's wanting to change you. So if you're sick or whatever, or having marital problems, you know 99% of the time when you're married, you're living with your mother or dad. You swear you'll never marry your mother, you'll never marry your dad, and you know what? 99% of the time, you're married to them. And God uses that person, that loving mate, to grind so that He can purify you. Or He lets something happen, like I shared with y'all Thursday night, when I said, I cannot believe I wouldn't let my kids stay home by themselves on Thanksgiving. I would never do anybody that way. And God said, yeah, that's just what you did to your mother, Dad. You see, you reap what you sow. So whenever you have a trial with somebody, you need to say, God, did I judge my mother and father for this, or did I do it? Because you'll either marry someone like your mother or father, or you'll be like your mother and father. God says, honor your mother and father that all may be well with you and your days will be long upon the earth. Two promises. Okay, I want to read now the curses in Deuteronomy. And I'm shortening this. I'm leaving out a whole bunch. But you have to see the idolatry and the sin before you can break a curse. So go to Deuteronomy 28 and I'm going to read all the curses in Deuteronomy. And if you've got a pencil, I'd like for you to circle the ones you think apply to you. And I'm going to read the blessings first because you don't want to go into despair. God says, if you obey, now it shall be if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God shall set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you, If you will obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Now the angels carry out the blessings. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, the produce of your ground, the offspring of your beast, and increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, that's your food. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings upon you and your barns and in all that you put your hand to do, and He shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now the promise is that the enemy will come against you one way and he'll flee seven ways. Now that's a good last days verse, isn't it? The one world order is coming at you. Guess what? He has to flee seven ways. Hallelujah. It says, the Lord will command the blessings upon your barns and all that you put your hand to do. He'll bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. So all the peoples of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they're going to be afraid of you. Glory to God. What a blessing. Walk in obedience, and the enemy will be afraid of you. So, And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity in the offspring of your body and the offspring of your beast and the produce of your ground in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you His good storehouse, the heavens, and give rain to your land in its season. And He's going to bless all the work of your hands, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you only shall be above, and you shall not be underneath, if you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully. God says, I'll make you the head and not the tail. You know the curse is you're the tail and not the head? Just look at your life. Are you always the tail instead of the head? That's a curse. And praise God, Jesus Christ died on the cross that curse can be broken. But it's a condition. And do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today to the right or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. Now, you know you have another god if you get angry when you don't have it. Or if you have it, you're afraid you're going to lose it. Or if you don't have it, you're afraid you won't get it. Or if you get depressed. Did you know that's rooted in idolatry? Hold your place and go to Deuteronomy 32. I want you to see that all your negative... We're going to come back here. But I want you to see that all your negative emotions are rooted in idolatry. Before I read the curses, I want you to see that all your negative emotions, fear, terror, bitterness, depression, woundedness. If you say, well, you know, I'm just a wounded person. Every place you get your button pushed, there's an idol behind it. Every place that you get angry, there's an idol behind it. Every place that you're fearful, there's an idol behind it. Every place you're bitter, there's an idol behind it. You see, if I turn to God in my pain, He heals me. If I confess my sins, if Jane hurts my feelings and I forgive her by sundown, I don't have a wound. If I let the sun go down on that, every time I think about Jane, there's a little hurt feeling there, and she hasn't hurt me, but I'm saying there's a little hurt feeling there. You see, the wound comes in when you don't take it to God. Bitterness comes in when you don't take it to God. Okay, let's read Deuteronomy 32. It says, but Jezreel, that's Israel, the people of God, means the upright one. It says they grew fat. It means their heart became so hard and callous that they produced from the flesh. And that is one of the major roots to cataracts right there. Because a cataract is a callous over the eyeball. When I started confessing scriptures, I had a place on my eye the eye doctor said would turn into a cataract. I spent about 35 hours repenting over eye scriptures, and this one here about Jezreel. And last time I went to the eye doctor, I said, what about that place that you said was going to turn into a cataract? He said, it's gone. Just through repenting over the word. Okay? It says, but Jezreel grew fat means it became calloused and produced by from flesh. And I've come out of generations of Jezreel people. They just hang in there and let the front end drag kind of people. I mean, they're produced from the flesh. You know, if you're a strong person, God has to make you weak. And if you're weak, He's got to make you strong. And if you're strong, He's got to make you weak so He can make you strong in Him. It says, they made him, God, jealous with strange gods, with abominations. Now, this is God's people. They had strange gods with abominations. They provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they've not known, new gods who came lately. So wherever you have an idol, you're worshiping a demon. Revelation 9:20, verse 20. Then he, God, said, I'll hide my face from them. I'll see what their end shall be, for there are a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They've made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So now I want you to see the repercussions. So I'm going to make them jealous in verse 21. and I'm going to make them angry, provoke them to anger in verse 21. And then he says in verse 23, I'm going to heap misfortunes on them. So you see, misfortune is a root of rooted in idolatry. I'm going to use my arrows on them. Circle that and put Job 6:4. Job said he's loosed his bowstring upon me. They shall be wasted by famine, and that word is hunger in the King James. So you see, famine is a root of idolatry. And consumed by plague, do you see plague is rooted in idolatry? And bitter destruction and the teeth of beasts, I'm going to send upon them with the venom of crawling things of the dust. Outside the sword shall bereave and inside terror. And that word in the Hebrew means the idol is a boogie bear. You know what? How you know it's an idol? Because it scares you to death if you've got it and you think you're going to have to get rid of it. Amen? I used to sit in Dave Wilkinson's meetings years ago in about 1989 or 85. And I'd think, oh, I hope you don't tell me I have to get rid of this. And it means the idol's the boogie bear. If you have fear, it's idolatry. If you have anger, it's idolatry. If you have hurt, it's idolatry. Every sin is idolatry. It says they'd be wasted by famine, consumed by plague, and the teeth of beasts I'm going to send upon them. Now, just put 1 Peter 5:8 there that says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. And put Amos 9 there that says he commands the serpent to bite. In the case of Adam and Eve, when after they sinned in the garden, God began to rebuke the serpent and said, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust. And then he began to rebuke Adam and he said, Adam, you are dust. So what he was saying is, Adam, every time you get in the flesh, I command the serpent and it bites you. Now that's a picture. If I'm in God's refuge, the enemy cannot touch me. But if I step out here in the flesh, he commands the serpent to bite me. It's hedged down Sikkim. So I need to stay in his refuge, on his highway of holiness. How I do that is by confessing my sins, being confessed up and prayed up. And I meant to share this wonderful scripture the Lord just gave me the other day. I meant to share that when I taught the other night on the armor of light. But it says, he's a shield to those who walk in integrity. And the word, that's one thing I love about Glenn, is he's a man of integrity. And that, you know what? Integrity is lacking in the body of Christ today. Amen. It is. But you know what that word integrity means? Innocence. God is a shield to those who walk innocently. Hallelujah. Does that mean that Glenn's a perfect person or we're perfect? No, it just means we see sin and we turn from it. And then he's going to show us something else and we turn from it. And it's a walk until we get into eternity. Glory to God. Okay, so then the teeth of beasts I'm going to send upon them, and then terror. And then in 28, they lose their understanding. And the understanding is the truth that sets me free. And then there's bitterness, and it says, indeed, their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves judge this. Their vine is from the vine of Sodom. You see, any place I have an idol, I'm a target because I'm connected to the vine of Sodom. You know, Jesus is Lord of my life, and I'm connected to the true vine. But and I'm repentant of anything I know. I don't know one thing that God would have me repent of that I haven't repented of. But any place, he doesn't show me things all at once. I couldn't take it. But there's areas that I don't see yet, and wherever I don't see it, and there's an idol, it's connected to the vine of Sodom. And wherever you have an idol, you're going to operate out of the flesh. You see, when I'm connected to the true vine, I'm going to operate with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. But you touch one of my idols, rawr! Right? I get in the flesh because there's a sore place there. That's a trigger. That's a button pusher. And it indicates that I have a wounded spirit. And so use these things when you get angry. Okay, God, why am I get so angry? Why am I angry? Can I tell you that anger is unacceptable?
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.